You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's 9:38 in the morning now on BFM 89.9. And at this time of the morning, we have...
This news bulletin was brought to you by DG Business.
No, that's totally wrong, isn't it? Wrong. I don't know what's wrong with our system at the moment. Everything is all screwing up. But anyway, whatever it is, it's time for...
Always blame the system.
Yeah, I hit the right key, but
system me passe.
Wrong,
not and, David Chew.
And we're talking about the S&M show, of course, with Koo Soo Chuang and the one and only Salvatore Dali. No whips today because when I hit the whip,
I've been taken away from us. Is it?
Yeah, wrong sound, foul play. But you know what is also wrong? Something that happened which perked a lot of interest.
Wrong
down
direction,
south.
At least, yeah.
The three
companies in Singapore.
Yeah.
Asia Suns, Blue Mount Group, and Lion Gold. Normally, we would discuss the businesses of those companies, but in this particular case, the real reason for the plunge last Friday, which initiated the first time the Singapore Stock Exchange designated those shares, first time in 13 years or something, caused a whole run on the small cap index.
Well, usually, we don't touch Singapore listed shares.
Yeah, but in this case.
In this case, because, first of all, there is a very strong Malaysian interest. Actually, those companies are probably all controlled by Malaysians. The second part is that if you read about the news flow, there are a lot of news flow from Bloomberg, Reuters, even Wall Street Journal. They regurgitate the same thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what is happening. And that is fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, because it all comes
We're talking about over 6 billion Sing.
Lost in market value.
In market cap that has evaporated into thin air.
Right.
What we do know is that fronting Asia Suns, which is essentially a private equity firm, they own basically Nirvana Memorial, the bereavement company. They own Chaswood Resources, which is TGI Fridays, and the apartment and warehouse and laundry and other...
Bereavement company, pardon the pun.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
And a whole bunch of other stuff, you know, gyms and stuff. But in this particular case, no one really knows. I mean, fronted, of course, by Dato' Azlan Hashim, former KLSE chairman, and Dato' Jared Lim, himself a former banker.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, beyond that, the conventional papers don't know. But we do. We know what's going on, right?
We think we do. Because, first of all, we're talking about, you know, an aggregation of a few companies that are, you know, amounting to 5-6 billion Sing dollars.
Okay.
It takes a very big tycoon to be able to amass and grow such companies. Even though that those three companies that we talk about have been surging enormously over the past, you know, 12-24 months, you know, from a low base, but you still need quite a hefty amount of capital to start with. They are very strong. I believe The Edge is probably going to do a big story this weekend.
Okay.
On the real person behind. I think we all can speculate and all that, you know. But then again, we don't want to paint ourselves into a corner. Mm. It's probably an ex Malaysian politician, Krem Tycoon. You can do your own guessing, I guess.
Okay, so in terms of the activity of the Blue Mount Asia Suns and Lion Gold triumvirate, Blue Mount basically had about 11 million shares, traded on the 4th of October, but just 4 days later, that volume swelled to 63 million shares. So it's a six-fold increase. In that space of time, the share price of Blue Mount went from 88 cents to 13 cents, okay? So for Asia Suns, it went from just nearly 4 million shares traded on the 4th of October. 4 days later, that number swelled to 20 times that amount, and they went from $1 Sing to about 11 cents Sing, right? And that's a tenth of its value. Same thing for Lion Gold, 6.3 million shares on 4th of October, swelled by 10 times that amount, and it went from 88 cents to 19 cents. So, I mean, clearly someone was dumping those shares in a big way.
Yes and no. The reason why we brought up this volume, the amount of volume that is involved in those three shares on the way down is very significant. Because we're talking about, say, Blue Mount, which has shares outstanding, 2.5 billion.
Okay, That's a lot.
2.5 billion. On the first day of falling, it's only 10 billion shares. Then when it started really to drop from 88 to 13 cents, it was 115 or around there.
Wow.
Okay, as a percentage, That is, you can't even touch Songna on the first few days. Okay, Songna beat the heck out of them.
Yeah.
All right. And then on the third day, it evaporated after the securities have been designated. It's 62 million. So we're talking about less than 20% in total. And I believe a lot of the volume transacted were probably, you know, repeated orders of cutting losses and all that. So the real amount of selling or short selling probably is not as much as you think if it's something sinister was happening. That's one thing. And the same can be said for Bluemont, Asia Suns, and Lion Gold. So what is very different, that if you find that when a group of shares or one share collapses, you could find in Fountain View, Kenmark, usually you can't find the owners.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like in Kenmark's case,
you can't find the owners.
To Taiwan, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or when things collapses in some of those rate chips in Singapore, again, you can't find the owners.
Okay.
You know, they'd be very, very far away.
Important etiquette.
But in this case, is that, you know, it is something... most of them are, all of them are still around, you know, doing press conference and all that. Mm. And it appears to me, based on what I'm seeing and the amount of shares that is being traded, and actually the amount of shares that probably traded prior to it, this doesn't look anything sinister. It looks more like, you know, it could be some bank starting to pull their line and causing a cascading effect. You know, because if we look at Bluemont, I mean, you know, the value of projects and companies underneath the Asia Suns, Bluemont, Lion Gold, the assets are pretty solid. Say for Bluemont, I mean, the projects are probably worth between $1.50 to $2, and it's trading at what 20 cents?
Something like that, yeah.
And the brilliant thing which happened is that now they've appointed somebody who's very well versed in the mining industry to come in, take a sizable position. They're buying shares at 40 cents to try and stabilize the ship, so to speak. Because, you know, once there's a cascading effect from a margin line being pulled, all your other banks, you know, could be doing the same thing at the same time. So you need to, like, you know, pacify all your bankers.
Well, they announced basically Bluemont. I think the announcement of Alexander Molyneux agreeing to take 8% in Bluemont, become his chairman. So that's like, I guess, trying to steady the ship.
Yeah, if you do not know this person, if you are from the mining industry, he is the right hand man of an even bigger guy, Robert Friedland, who is, if you Google Robert Friedland, you know that he has. Basically, it's bigger than... It's the Warren Buffett of the mining industry.
Okay.
So these are very credible people coming in.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go at length on this right after the break. Stay tuned. This is the S&M Show.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
All righty. It is the S&M Show. Yes, the whip's finally working once again. And just before the break, yeah, we were talking about the Bluemont Asia Suns debacle that's going on over down south. But you mentioned something, Dali, that, you know, the banks could have pooled their financing. What's this? Why would one want to do that in the first place? They could have caused all this to happen.
That's the thing, you know.
I mean, nobody really knows for sure.
Exactly. This. Out, yeah. And this, if something... of that nature, because first of all, if you look at the size of the selling, it looks it can only come from you know, a margin line, because if you are a registered shareholder or a substantial shareholder, you would have to declare already. So obviously, the selling came primarily from a bank which had a margin line given to one of these companies.
How much has it got to do with the fact that last Friday, Bluemont issued a statement saying that it was dropping, basically scrapping the plan to buy Kokal Limited, right, the coal miner, the Australian-listed coal miner? And how much connection does this have with the fact that Robert Friedland's number one or number two, Alexander Molyneux, is now in the fray?
I think probably the reason why they cancel would probably point to more information as to what caused the cascade, all right? Because when you're trying to buy a company, you could be issuing shares or you could be getting a temporary line of credit to facilitate the deal. Now, if that temporary line of credit is suddenly pulled out from under your feet for whatever reason, that will scupper the deal. That's one thing. But if that line pulling, whether intentional or devious or whatever, you know, is interpreted by some other banks as something more sinister, then you cause a cascading effect on your other margin lines.
You know? So of course, this then is an escalation, it's a snowball effect, it's a domino effect.
Yeah, the way that I look at the
so I guess the question now is at this level, as you quite rightly pointed out, you know, Dali.
The shares are very good NAV and projects and companies.
So if Blue Moon shares are trading at say what 20 cents now, yeah. Right, and you've got inherent value of say 150 to $2 per share, is it a screaming buy? I mean,
according to Molinex, it's worth it. He's coming in with a substantial position coming in,
yeah.
But you need a lot of. It's not just going to be like a massive rebound overnight, because if a couple of the banks were dumping shares, you're going to get a lot of free float up in the market, which needs to be, you know,
mopped up.
And now that they are still designated, which means you have to pay cash to mop it up, you know. So you know, to the Singaporeans, it's like, you know, they'll be thinking, you know, hell, man, we already closed Klopp, you know. Now we still get screwed by Malaysians, man.
Okay, so back to the Malaysian market, right? And, you know, and you know, we've been talking about how the Malaysian market has been lackluster for the last few weeks. It's been going nowhere, right? Mm. All the energy seems to be sapped from the market. The conventional thinking is that it's due to the budget, because of the debt ceilings, because of the tapering talk, which has been kind of like postponed until now. Is that your sense of what's happening?
I think budget, yes, but I think markets don't always, you know, drive in third gear, fourth gear. Sometimes it can be in first gear and second gear, right? You know. And it
very
doesn't
cryptic. It's very cryptic.
Sometimes you run a marathon, so you need to rest for a while, isn't it?
So you're trying to say that the market is taking a breather right now at the moment?
Yeah, it's taking a breather. But then again, sometimes it's just like a breather just to, you know, rest. But we in the media and analysts and business writers and remisers, you know, talk up kings, have to find reasons to attach to these events.
I guess one of the big concerns about 2014, Dali, is the fact that, you know, foreigners still continue to hold, what, 45, 48% of MGS, right? They could dump this.
They would have.
But the selling seems to have stopped, right?
Yep.
And that's the big albatross hanging over the government's head, I guess.
I cannot stress this. I think I'm repeating myself. I said the budget, upcoming budget, has to be very tough. Otherwise, you could see the same kind of selling which happened for Indonesia.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, the same type of, like, you know, humongous selling.
Yeah, because India and Indonesia are now in current account, well, deficit territory, right? Having been very much in the surplus. And Malaysia is right on the cusp. I think we were running about 2 or 3 billion.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
right?
A very, very thin line. It's a very thin line. You really need to, you know, come in with a strong, tough budget.
What's your expectation?
I don't know, man.
But aren't we seeing signs already of all that happening? I mean, with the subsidy rationalizations and stuff like that, these could be just
that's
a
nothing.
Precursor.
I mean, the fact today they just announced that they're gonna shift 42 billion worth of civil servant housing loans onto the DFIs, which is the Development Financial Institutions, right? And that's like financial wizardry, right? Because
it's cosmetics.
You're gonna go, it's cosmetics, but it's gonna take your debt level.
Okay, it's gonna take more than cosmetics. Like, look, we all know where this is all headed to. If you're gonna switch around, from one tin to another tin, it's just not gonna cut it, and we are gonna feel the wrath
sooner or later.
Do you expect there'll be GST as widely?
I hope so.
Yeah,
you know, because we really need one, and we need it at least like maybe like 6%.
Well, the speculation at 4 then graduated to
4.
4
is like,
5,
it's
6.
It's no big deal. Seriously, that's such a... You might as well not do it.
Interesting. So basically, a lot of people are just waiting by the sidelines. Then do you expect some kind of reduction in corporate tax, you know, individual tax? Because you've got to take and you've got to give as well.
Oh, yes,
right?
Yes. I wish they were... I mean, I was advising... Nobody asked me for, you know. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, at 4%, at 4% GST, it's not, as you put it, it's not going to make much of a dent over here. So
yeah, but you've got to start somewhere. You know, and you can't start too high. I mean, that's the thing, you know. And the political repercussions will be ginormous.
Well, that's true.
Don't spend. You spend, you pay.
Yeah, well.
Because we have such a huge, shadow economy that is untaxed. Huge.
Huge, massive. Just in tobacco alone, billions, right?
Yeah.
Don't even talk about alcohol or gaming or gambling.
Those shadow economies is incredible, and we need to tax them. That's all.
Lastly, you also posted the fact that the owner of The Edge is now a blogger, just like you. And it's fantastic, right? I love the fact that we've got a high net worth individual who runs a media company.
As opposed to me, a low net worth individual.
No, not crossing any aspersions here, you know, Daddy. But the more intelligent people that enter the fray, other than yourselves, the better.
Yes, very much welcome.
His blog is actually called tongkweyong.com. A kite rises against, not with the wind. So he was making a big deal out of the fact that, you know, printing licenses are
Bob Seger fan.
Yeah, Bob Seger fan, yeah.
Yeah, against the wind.
Oh, that's a nice one. Okay, time now for your song pick of the day. You have actually chosen this one from Nina Simone.
In anticipation of the upcoming budget.
Yes.
We need this kind of song. About self-empowerment and when you have nothing and when you have everything and when you have nothing again. What do you have?
Well, the song's called Ain't Got No, which literally means I got ain't got nothing.
Ain't got nothing, mate.
But I got only life, lah. Okay, this is the S&M Show every Wednesday at 9:30. Don't forget, if you want more, Dali, you just visit his blog. It's malaysiafinance.blogspot.com.
Ain't got no shoes, ain't got no money, ain't got no class, ain't got no skirts, ain't got no sweater, ain't got no perfume, ain't got no bed, ain't got no mind. Ain't got no mother, ain't got no culture, ain't got no friends, ain't got no schooling, ain't got no love, ain't got no name. Got my hair, got my head, got my brains, got my ears, got my eyes, got my nose, got my mouth, I got my smile. I got my tongue, got my chin, got my neck, got my boots, got my heart, got my soul, got my back, I got my sex. I got my arms, got my hands, got my fingers, got my legs, got my got my toes, got my liver, got my blood, I've got life.
BFM 89.9, the business station.